This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته How's it going?
Alhamdulillah
Fasting still okay?
Yeah, Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Ismail, you always come for the quiz, I see, mashallah. You know when the right time is to come. Inshallah. All of us, Ameen, all of us. Mashallah, we continue with our lecture series on the heroes of Islam. We spoke about Uwais al-Qarni, and we spoke about Hassan al-Basri. Today, inshallah, we gave an intro to him last night. We said that this man, what a lineage he had, what a pedigree he had. His grandfather was the last of the rightly guided caliphs. And his grandfather on his mother's side was the last emperor of Persia. And his great-grandfather was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who are we talking about? Ali Zainul Abidin. Ali, the son of Hussein. Ali, the son of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhum. The only surviving son of Ali radiallahu anhum. Of Hussein radiallahu anhum. So he is Ali, the son of Hussein, the son of Sayyidina Ali, who was married to Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What a pedigree he had. And as for his mother, when the Muslim Ummah expanded and conquered the Persian Empire, the emperor of Persia, Yazdajard, the last of them, he was killed, and his daughters were taken as prisoner. But instead of putting them and subjugating them to slavery, Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he asked them, three of the daughters of the emperor of Persia, choose any of the men of Medina, who would you like as a husband? And one of them, Sulafa, she chose Hussein radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hibbun Nabi, the man, that little boy, who was so beloved to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who they said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't resist kissing him. Whenever he was on the lap of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to kiss him. And he resembled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she married him. So he married the daughter of the last Persian emperor. And they conceived a child, and she died not long after giving birth to this boy, Ali radiallahu anhu. So Hussein named his son after his father, Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali Zain al-Abidin, he was born 35-36 after the Hijrah, after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was born in the time of his grandfather being the Khalifa. And it's said that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he lived 2 years and he enjoyed his grandson, who was also Ali, for these 2 years. And they said the two of them, you know, they had a special bond, a grandfather and a grandson. And he would later grow up to resemble his grandfather, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He is regarded by the Shia as the fourth Imam in the line of Shia, in the Shia line. Not to get too technical here and to go deep of a tangent, but we said that we as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we don't believe in the concept of imamat. We don't believe that there are people that link us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, each and every one of us have a special bond with Allah. That when we raise our hands, we don't need to intercede with anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no Nabi or Wali or Kramat or ancestor or Wali, anyone between us and Allah. Everyone, each and every one of us, even the worst of us, when he raises his hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers that dua, insha'Allah. He was given the nickname, as we said, his name is not Zain al-Abidin, but he's known as Zain al-Abidin. Why? Zain means the beautification, or the most beautiful of the Abidin, the ones who worship. So he is the jewel, or the most beautiful of all worshippers. And he's called Imam al-Sajid, the Imam of those who make sujood. Why? Because of the level of his worship, the kind of worship that he used to do. And this is a man, and if we look at his life, he had the world basically at his feet. He had the lineage, he had the title, he could have been the Khalifa. But he lived in a time when the government was in the hands of the Umayyads, and they were oppressive and tyrannical, and he saw his father, Imam Hussein, standing up against oppression. And he was present at Karbala. And we all know what happened in Karbala. It's the place where Imam Hussein, radiallahu anhu, was martyred. Imam Hussein was martyred. And not just Imam Hussein, but every male present, even a 6-month-old baby at Karbala, all the males were killed. But on that day, Allah chose for it to be such that Zainul Abideen, and he was about 21 years old at Karbala, he was seriously ill. He was passing in and out of consciousness, and he was in the tent with the ladies. So when the fighting broke out, and the men of Ahlul Bayt were killed, he survived. And actually he was about to be killed when his aunt Zainab, and sometimes we don't know that Hassan and Hussein, they had sisters from Fatima. They had sisters from Fatima, Zainab and Umm Kulthum. These were complete granddaughters of the Prophet ﷺ. Zainab, the daughter of Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad ﷺ. So this is the Nabi ﷺ's granddaughter. She would raise Zainul Abideen. Remember, his mother passed away when he was basically not even a year old. So his aunt Zainab raised him. And he was also very fond of his uncle Hassan. So he was present at Karbala. And he was too ill to fight, even though he did his best to stand up. And he took a stick and he was unable to walk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him that he would be spared. 72 members of his family were killed. His father, his brothers, all his brothers, his uncles, his cousins, all of them killed on one day. And he was the only surviving member of Ahlul Bayt, male member of Ahlul Bayt. And then him and his family, the ladies, were taken by chains to Yazid, the Khalifa at the time. And then eventually he was released and sent to Medina. And this is really when his story begins. That we speak about superheroes, and we think a superhero is somebody that stands out, that is all the eyes are on them. This man wanted and tried and aspired to be the opposite. That the world looked at him with awe. That this is the last remaining male descendant of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People looked at him and people honored him and praised him in a way above his level. And people looked at him to be a pawn in political feuds and fights. Remember, there were many people that wanted to rebel against the government. And he was the perfect candidate that they looked to influence. But he did his best to stand out of politics, to avoid living a glamorous life, and preferred rather to excel in worship. That's why he's called Zainul Abideen. He didn't aspire to be a great politician. He didn't aspire to be a famous alim. Rather, he aspired to be the perfect worshipper. And so apt, we recited the verse of Surah Al-Furqan, when Allah says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, the worshippers of Allah. And Allah gives a description, what is an abid, a worship of Allah like? What does he do? How is he? And look at the way Allah describes him. And it's as if though Allah made this man purely for that sake. He lived in Medina amongst tabi'een, amongst sahaba. And they said, this man excelled the best in terms of worship. When Allah says that ibadur rahman, they walk on the earth with humility. This man had the highest of status, the highest of titles. Yet they would find him sitting in the class in the masjid, and the one giving the lesson were slaves. So many slaves of sahaba, when they became freed, they learnt from their sahaba masters, and when they became freed, they became teachers. And some people said, subhanallah, you, the great grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is sitting at the feet of a slave. And he said, yes, I go get ilm wherever it might be. When he used to walk in the markets, people would naturally give him preference. You come first in the line, you're the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would dislike this very much. He wouldn't want people to look at him and to honor him and to praise him. And he tried his best to be as obscure as possible. And many incidences in his life speak to this, that he tried and avoided the politics of the time. And he kept a good relationship with the Khalifa. Even though the Khalifas at that time oppressed him, they took away his family, they took away his titles, they took away his wealth, and he'd be summoned back and forth by the Khalifa. When his status became known and people started to praise him, the Khalifa would summon him in chains to Damascus, and he would always obey the Khalifa with humility and respect. He never disobeyed the Khalifa. And he didn't incite others. He told people, don't rise up on my account. Don't fight and rebel. Live peacefully. This is how he decided to live his life. He's called Imam al-Sajideen because of the way he made sujood. They would say when he was in sujood, he really had that quality where the world became forgotten. And to show this point, once he was making tahajjud salah and his house caught fire, and people ran out of the house, and he was unaware that his house was burning. It's again a true story of this man. And he said, subhanAllah, he was so engrossed in the worship of Allah that he didn't realize what it was like that the house was burning. to show you the honor and the status that this man had, the haiba. When you're in the presence of somebody great, you automatically feel his presence. Hisham bin Abdul Malik was the Khalifa, and he was a powerful Khalifa. And we'll talk about this inshallah in coming days. The children of Abdul Malik, they were at the zenith of the Muslim Empire. In their time, the Muslim Empire stretched from Spain to China. They were the most powerful people on earth. And Hisham was the Khalifa. And once he went for Hajj with his guards and his entourage, and they said, Subhanallah, you know, when the Emperor of Persia sent his representative to Medina, and this was when the Muslims started to invade the Persian Empire, they sent a delegation to meet this man, Umar ibn al-Khattab, who was invading this Persian Empire. And they said, where is your leader, Umar? And they said, that guy sleeping under the tree, that's Umar. No bodyguards, no one to watch his back. But obviously when the Khalifas changed, they had to defend themselves from their own people, even on Hajj. So Hisham bin Abdul Malik, he came to Hajj with his guards. And he said, I want to kiss the black stone. And his guards tried to force away from the Hujjaj, and they refused. And the guards said, there's nothing we can do, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. The Zahma is too big. You have to wait until the crowd subsides. So he said, okay, bold. Erect for me a high city, like a minbar. I want to sit and I want to watch the people, and I'll wait and then I'll kiss the black stone. And while he was sitting there, a man comes into the haram, also performing Hajj. And the people see him and they start to give way. They spread out and they make a way for him to kiss the black stone. And he kisses the black stone and he leaves. And the Amir says, who is that man? And they said, don't you know that is Zainul Abideen, Ali Zainul Abideen. This is the great grandson of the Prophet ﷺ. And a poet was present there, Farazdak, famous poet. And he wrote a poem, a long poem about this event. And he says, how can you not know who this man is when the stones of Makkah and the people of Makkah know who this man is? That can't you see the nur coming out of this man? And obviously when the Khalifa heard this poem, he was very upset. He arrested the poet. The Umayyads didn't play. Right, so he arrested the poet, and Zainul Abideen himself had to go to the Khalifa and intercede and said, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm not trying to usurp your power. We know you are the best and you are the king and you are the leader and I am your servant and I am your subject. Release this poet, and he paid his ransom to let him go. The forbearance of Zainul Abideen, he was wronged. Throughout his life, he was wronged. He was cheated and he was abused, and he bore that with patience. He never complained, even though he felt the sadness. 20 years after Karbala, imagine seeing 72 of your people, you know, family pass, all your brothers, your father, your uncles all passing away. He would still cry. And his family would say, have you not really gotten to grips with Karbala? And he says, Subhanallah, Nabi Ya'qub, He had 12 sons and he lost one of them, and he was so sad, he cried out of blind and he became blind. I lost 72 members of my family. So, you know, pardon me if I'm still sad about it. But like Nabi Ya'qub, what did he say? Ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah. I only complain to Allah. I don't complain to you or to anyone. I don't show my displeasure to anybody. But to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I complain and I'm sad and I cry. And once again, he didn't like to give sermons and khutbas. He didn't like to be in the public eye, but chose obscurity. I'd rather be outside of fitna. He didn't want preferential treatment. He didn't want people to see what he did. You know, if he was a superhero, he would be the invisible man. And what he did that no one could see, that's what he excelled in. And Allah made it such that his good deeds became apparent after he passed away. There was much that he did of good that no one really knew. People thought he was just aloof and was to himself. But subhanAllah, a lot of the good that he did became apparent after he passed away. It became known that Muhammad ibn Usama ibn Zayd, Zayd, the adopted son of the Prophet ﷺ, his son Usama had a son Muhammad. And obviously they were very close, Zayd and Hassan and Hussein, they were like relatives. And Zainul Abideen was close with Muhammad, they're of similar age. And he comes to Muhammad, and Muhammad is crying, and he's like, I'm destroyed. He said, what's wrong? He said, I'm in debt. He said, how much debt are you in? He said, over 10,000 dinars. Yesterday we said the mantle, Hassan al-Basri, I'm a wealthy man, I have 8,000 dinars. Muhammad says, I'm in debt by 10,000 dinars. Like the ulama say, we don't know how you could have been in such big debt at that time. Maybe he had four wives and each one got a credit card, and alhamdulillah, each one must spend equally, alhamdulillah. And his family used to think Zainul Abideen was a stingy man because he didn't show off and he didn't spend lavishly, yet he had wealth. obviously he inherited from all his relatives that passed away, and being Ahlul Bayt, people would constantly, you know, give him things even though he didn't want those things. But in times like this he spent, and he said, I'll pay off your debt, Muhammad. 10,000 dirhams was like a fortune. Also in Medina, there was a mystery in Medina. The poor people noticed that there was a man that would come at night, and he would cover his face, and he would bring food to them every night on his back. And they would call him that, the man who brings food on his back, and he refused to expose himself. No one knew who he was. Only when Zain al-Abidin passed away, did this thing stop. And they realized that this was Zain al-Abidin, that at night he would give to the poor. And that's when people started calling him by these names, not in his lifetime. And he never wanted those titles. And subhanAllah, at that time also it became apparent when people started to curse the Sahaba in the name of Sayyidina Ali, in the name of Ahlul Bayt. And the few public statements he made, what we know of him is to either pardon those who wronged him or to praise the Sahaba. One of the things he said, a man cursed him really badly and insulted him and his family. And he said, you know, brother, if what you say is true about me, I ask Allah to forgive me. And if what you say is wrong, then I forgive you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. That before he would emancipate a slave, and he would love to emancipate slaves. In fact, he heard the hadith once, that whoever sets a slave free, Allah will set an equal portion of your body free from the fire of Jahannam. When he heard this hadith, the first thing he did is he freed his most expensive slave. And before he would free a slave, he would say, you know, these are all the things you did wrong. These are all the things that you did against me. And I bear witness that I forgive them if you will forgive me of whatever I did. I was your master. I might have done something wrong. So you forgive me and I forgive you. This was a man who was really oppressed to the limit. Yet he never once spoke out against his oppressors. He never defamed them or cursed them publicly. And rather he chose the path of forbearance. And as I said, he has that famous statement. When people asked him, what do you say about Abu Bakr and Umar? So he said, subhanAllah, what can I say about them? Haven't you heard all the hadith? All those stories that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went here, and who was with him? Abu Bakr was with him, and Umar was with him. Then when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when people said, do you really, you know, speak about stories about animals talking and angels and fairy tales? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I believe these things, and I know Abu Bakr and Umar also believes this, even though he didn't ask them. So Zain al-Abidin said, just like they were like that, all three together in life, look how Allah kept them together in death. Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr and Umar, they lying next to one another. How can I say anything against them, that these are the best of people? So this is who Zain al-Abidin was. And he chose as those ayat, and we look at the ayat in Surah Furqan, read it. Allah says that the Ibadur Rahman, the true worshippers of Allah, are those, they walk on the earth gently. And when people insult them and the juhal speak to them, how do they respond? Salama, may peace be upon you. That's all they say. And they spend the night in sujood. This is man, Imam Sajideen. And when they hear evil speech, they pass by it honorably. And when they spend moderately. This is exactly the life of Zain al-Abidin. That he excelled, he refused to be a political figure, and he refused to be in the limelight, but he chose his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, when the ulama mention at their time, the sahaba and the tabi'een, that if the person who excelled in asceticism and worship, it was Zain al-Abidin who did it the most. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to follow in our own personal life. You can be a superhero if you fix your relationship with Allah as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that tawfiq, inshaAllah. Ameen. So, getting to our quiz. As I said last night, that you had the booklet. Is there anybody who didn't get the book, the quiz booklet? Can we just hand out a few booklets for the quiz? Just hand out. Ihsan, can you help us out, please? There's a box of booklets. So for those of you who did receive the booklet, there's a card that you've received now. You can still answer the question if you know the answer. We'll have questions on the board each night, on the screen each night, and you answer the question, and we take back the answer tonight. So you don't have a chance to go back to your booklet and check the answer out. You should know the answer by now. And we will, inshallah, as normal per week, we're going to have a weekly draw to give a spot prize, to give prizes. And we'll try and keep a log for those who answer correctly. And inshallah, the one who wins the league, right? The league here in the masjid, inshallah, you will receive the a special prize, inshallah. So the first question, and the question is on the card, just write the answer. Are there pins? Can we? No. Can we pass the pins out so they can answer now? Mouthful just. There's always these issues when we do something for the first time. Can we pass the pins out, please? Okay, the pins are going around. The pins, just only a few. Okay, so the first question, you'll have to, subhanAllah, there are three letters, you only have to remember three letters, right? It's either A, B, C, D, or D. Right, three questions, only three letters, remember them, and you can write them down as you leave the masjid, the pins are there. So, if you can't remember those three letters, Allah musta'an, then, subhanAllah, I don't know what else to say. There's a dua for memory. I will give you that to read as well, inshallah. Question number one. The Christians say that Jesus, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, is the son of Allah. Who did the Jews claim to be the son of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wa'iyadu billah. Was it A, Musa? Was it B, Aziz? Was it C, Uzair? Was it D, Harun? Remember? Keep it to yourself. Just remember. Remember that answer. Right, inshallah, remember that answer, what letter it is. Alright, we all can we move on to the next question? Alright, okay. Number two, who is the angel that is the warden of Jahannam? The gate or the guardian of Jahannam? Who is the chief in Jahannam? Is it Jibreel? Is it Malik? Is it Fir'aun? Is it Mikael? Fir'aun is definitely there, but is he in charge? Alright, so who? Alright, so remember the letters. You had a letter, now you have a second letter. Question three, from what are the jinn created? And all these questions are in the booklet. From what are jinn created? Are they created A, from fire, B, from light, C, from smoke, or D, from clay? Alright, so you remember the questions and the answers. Answer on your card at the back, there will be pins. Answer them and give it. You know, put it in the box tonight, inshallah. There'll be a prize for you, inshallah. Then just before we conclude, alhamdulillah, I'm very fortunate. This is my prize. I've got the first copy of 2016's Fuqat Reads. Alright? Alhamdulillah, I got a complimentary copy. Alhamdulillah. Rather, my wife got a complimentary copy of the Fuqat Reads. And with it is, of course, Al-Kayfi, or the Kayfi, which is our... The substitute to the companion, the companion. And alhamdulillah, it's a nice hardback this year. So inshallah, it's going to be available for sale from Friday, 150 rand. It will be at the masjid if you're here for Jumu'ah. Then we will have copies available. There, mashallah, Sheikh Irfan is the cover, the centerfold is Sheikh Irfan. Right, walhamdulillah, hafidhahullah. And please support, inshallah, and you'll find some beneficial articles in there and some delicious savouries in there. Even tomorrow evening, but the Talib says you can get the pre-release first to get it hot off the press. So please, inshallah, tomorrow, if you would like, purchase a copy. Please purchase a copy, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Shukran so much. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam al-musaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.